this.
Say amen. Find it printed in your bulletin or in your Bible, Psalms 27. When you have that and you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Just a few verses that we want, excuse me, that we want to read to express our sermonic thought today. Psalms 27, verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 9, hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. I want to take us on a historical journey and talk to you today with this subject, from slavery to the White House.
All right.
From slavery
all right.
to the White House. We all have experienced history, some of which we thought we would have never seen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Our president has been in office almost 8 years. That's two terms. Amen. Some didn't even envision the first term, let alone the second term. Amen. And so we still at awe as to what the God of Psalms 27 has been able to do.
Amen.
Amen. President Barack Obama, amen. Needless to say, it's historical for these United States of America. Amen. We thought it would have never happened. But it did. Some of you that are older should thank the God of Psalm 27 that he blessed you.
Amen.
To live to see that day. Amen. There's still so much inequality and racial undercurrents in our world today.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Even after the death of Jim Crow and the birth of affirmative action, there's still yet struggles.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. And this is not, amen, no, I'm not standing here to say it's white versus black. That's not the essence of what the God of Psalm 27 is saying to us. But it still gives us pause to recognize that we still have yet work to do.
Yes.
And it's more of a sin issue than anything else.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. It's not just a color thing, but it's an issue of sin, and not, amen, yielding to the word of God. Inequality and racial undercurrents, racism, hatred, ignorance, anti-God, anti-Bible, injustice, the list goes on and on. But as I said, the real issue is sin.
Yeah.
The real issue is not adhering to the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now you think there are issues now. And I'm not making no political advertisement. You think we got issues now. You let Trump get in office. I'm sorry. Did I say that? Amen. Amen. I I hear what Dr. King said. He said, nothing in the world is more dangerous than a sincere ignorance and a conscientious stupidity. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. You can run with that. Amen. But we got problems.
Amen.
It's not just a black problem or a white problem. We got problems. But since I'm talking to you, African Americans still have the highest unemployment rate. We still shoulder the highest rate of foreclosures. Still have the lowest median income. African Americans still have the highest rate of incarceration. Help me, Holy Ghost. But I need to put a footnote there, because in some cases it could be our own making. Is that right? We cannot be so quick to blame other folk for our own infractions. Is that right? The Bible says that let no man suffer as an evil doer.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Amen.
What are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying that if you break the law, then you ought to suffer the consequences of the law. Is that right?
Amen.
But there are times when we suffer unjustly. Amen. And in those times, the Bible says that we shall be glorified. The truth is that we've come, amen, far on this journey. From slavery to freedom. But we still have a long way to go. Is that right? The journey isn't over. Amen. But I want to pause and say, for some, Dr. King's dream is recurring. What are you saying? I'm saying we think that sometimes we think we've got it, then it's gone. It's elusive. We think that we have arrived, but yet once it's within our grasp, seems as though somebody snatches that away from us. Amen. So it can not only be a dream, but sometimes it can turn into a nightmare. Is that right? Did you not hear Dr. King when he said that I have a dream? You know the story, that men, women, boys, and girls would one day be not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Is that right?
Amen.
And since this is, as we set aside on our calendar, to recognize and celebrate MLK, or Dr. Martin Luther King Day, amen, there's no time like now to reflect on the journey, where it began and where it has led us, and where we still need to go. It's been a tough journey, a bloody journey, a challenging journey, amen. If we were to learn anything from the experience, amen, the liberating knowledge is in the details. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Just walk with me for a few moments. The African American, amen, began in Jamestown, Virginia in 1619 with the arrival of what was known then as indentured servants. From 1619 to about 1640, these individuals could earn freedom, amen, working as laborers and artisans for European settlers. But in 1640, Maryland became the first colony to institutionalize slavery. Massachusetts followed suit in 1641, making African workers nothing more than property, which meant that they could be sold and bought by their masters. From 1646 until 1770, slavery grew exponentially in proportions. Most of the slaves, amen, history tells us, were captured on the west coast of Africa, known as the Sudan. That area was targeted because The Africans on the West Coast were known for their skills in agriculture, farming, and mining. And that's why you see a lot of inventions, amen, that had its beginning, its genesis, its birth, amen, with the black man. Slaves were captured by white as well as black hunters. Is that right? And offered by African tribes to European hunters in exchange for weapons, beads, whiskey, and ivory. So blacks were, even then, selling out blacks. So we cannot look at the nucleus of this journey and say it was somebody else's fault, that it was the white man's fault, because blacks were selling out their own kind. All in the name of capitalism. Does that sound familiar today? These tribal leaders, amen, they saw an opportunity to improve their own lifestyle at the expense of their black brothers and sisters, amen. That was no skin loyalty among the tribes, just like it is today, amen. You can talk about it's a black-white issue, but we got a lot of black-on-black issues. Help me, Holy Ghost, amen. So we've got this seemingly generational inheritance, amen, that we can't get along with one another, let alone trying to get along with somebody else. Amen. Likes. Amen. We don't. Some of us don't like each other. Amen. If you're different complexion, amen, if you ain't black enough, something wrong with you. And we look down on those who may be light skinned. I know I'm talking to somebody. Amen. So we got a lot of issues among our own selves that we need to help and deal with. Is that right? But in America, the rise in demand for sugar, coffee, cotton, and tobacco created the same mercenary demand for slaves. Amen. Other countries also competed for cheap labor. Countries like Spain, France, the Dutch, and the English. The slave trade, amen, was so profitable that by 1672, the Royal African Company, chartered by Charles II of England, superseded all other traders and became the richest shipper of human slaves to the mainland of America. I'm just giving you some history. By 1768, 53,000 slaves a year were being shipped to North America from England, 23,000 from the French, 11,000 from the Dutch, 8,700 from the Portuguese. Slaves became known as black gold. Help me, Holy Ghost. They became known as black gold. And the very thing, brothers and sisters, the one thing that's killing, that kills a lot of black folk today, that's high blood pressure. That was the very thing that helped them survive the journey. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so when I read, even as a child, amen, I was baffled on how, and I even saw a post of this earlier this week. Baffled how in our schools, in elementary schools especially, you know, and some of you can go back further than I can, how it portrayed in books slaves as happy-go-lucky, that they were glad just to be there.
All right.
Oh, help me, Lord.
Yes,
but the God of Psalm 27 had something different. Amen. No man in his right mind could possibly enjoy being a slave. No man or woman could possibly enjoy working from dawn to dusk, body bent over in the blazing sun with no tools but their fingertips, plucking cotton from its prickly hull till their fingers were red with blood, doing it all without pay. Who in the world could enjoy that? To make matters worse, No clothing or food provisions other than what they could grow on their own, amen, on small parcels of land allowed for their own cultivation. And the story is many slaves ran off and lived in the woods of the vast wilderness of the undeveloped American countryside. They were then called maroons, amen. Because they lived and were stuck in the thick forest, forced to live on the fruits and the hunted wild animals for food. Some even married into the segments of a Native American population and became known as Black Indians. Help me, Lord. But Psalms 27 says that God is the strength of our lives.
Yes, He is.
And we need not be afraid.
Yes.
That spiritual strength is the only explanation for how millions of slaves endured the whip, the noose, and the chain for so many years. The Lord was their light and their salvation.
Yes, He was.
And they trusted that in due season, He would deliver them. God promised that the enemies of the slave would stumble and fall. And fall they did.
Yes.
Beginning in 1800, when slaves in Virginia attempted a revolt, to 1857, when slavery and freedom was hanging in the balance. The rest is history. President Lincoln started America on a long and tedious journey toward equality for every man in America. A journey that we are still on today. A journey that Dr. King shared. Dr. King said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for us? Trying to get a witness here. Help me, Holy Ghost. But something has changed in the American community, the African American community. The affliction that caused us to turn our hearts toward God. The God of Psalm 27 has become less painful. Like the Israelites who trusted, amen, who turned away from God during time of plenty. Our spiritual lights are growing dim. You see, brothers and sisters, it's nothing like pain and tribulation that'll make you turn to God.
All right. Well,
the psalmist said, I was glad when I was afflicted because it helped me to know your way.
Yes,
amen, lights.
Amen.
But we have gotten 50 cents above expenses.
Say that.
We live in fine homes and driving nice cars.
Yes,
and our spiritual light is growing dim.
Amen.
If you're not careful, God knows how.
Yes, He knows.
To send some affliction.
Oh, yeah.
To bring you back in line.
Yeah.
Our plight as African Americans has grown a bit more tolerable.
All right.
And like the church in Ephesus, in Revelations 2 and 4, we have forsaken our first love.
Amen.
Dare we forsake our God who has been so good to us.
Thank you, Lord.
Reverend Wilson said it well earlier. How can we not stand and give God the glory for all that He's done for us? Is that right? How can we use even our own sickness as an excuse not to serve God? But yet it don't keep us. Oh, you know what I'm going to say. Keep us from answering the alarm clock on Monday morning. God has been good to us. God has brought us through many dangers, trials, and snares. He's brought us through the taskmaster's whip and Jim Crow water hoses. He brought us through long hours, amen, of toil and long days of marching. He's brought us through no education and poor education. And yet, he has not forsaken us. Can I get a witness here? And with a slow and steady hand, God has liberated us. Amen. By steady intervention. All the way from the poorhouse to the White House. Ain't God all right? Psalms 27 said, I will sing unto the Lord and sing praises unto the Lord. Where are the plethora of African Americans who could and should be expressing their adoration to their deliverer? Maybe many have left their first love because they believe that democracy has set them free. Maybe many have left their first love because they have become convinced, amen, that they have outgrown God. Maybe they left their first love because they've caught that old disease of complacency. Help me, Holy Ghost. But whatever the cause might be, our praise as a people is growing far too quiet. Help me, Lord God. If anybody ought to be praising God, it ought to be us. The psalmist said, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Amen. It ain't nothing that'll get God's attention like a healthy cry. Help me, Holy Ghost. If you want God to answer, I suggest you learn how to cry. It's true that we want the Lord to hear us when we cry. But what about the seasons in between when life is rolling along, amen, without much of a struggle, when things are looking good and everything we touch turn into gold? Help me, Holy Ghost. But what about in between? Are we willing to have a deep relationship with God? When we are, amen, when we have nothing to cry about. Help me, Lord God. When everything is well, it's in those spirits of well that we have forgotten about God. But the psalmist says, hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. My salvation. Thank you, Lord. When the tide of hatred thickens again, as it has appeared to happen every day since President Obama has been in the White House. Help me, Holy Ghost. When we cry out now and beg God not to be angry with us, where do we turn if not to God? When slanders, amen. The first black president and newspaper cartoonists make a mockery of our culture and, amen, who we are. Will God hear the cries as a people who have all but abandoned him? Help me, Lord God. On this, the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King, I'm preaching to the faithful remnant. Help me, Lord God. There are some who have not defiled their garment. And the Bible says they shall walk with God.
Yes.
They shall walk with the Lord in white.
Yes.
You are charged to go home.
Yes.
And start a fire under your own family members.
Yes. All right.
Memorize the story of our deliverance.
Yes.
That you may tell it to generations to follow.
Yes.
Remind them of all the victories we have achieved by the hand of God.
Yes.
Petition them to come and worship the Lord for all of his goodness.
Yes.
Have the Lord been good to anybody here today?
Yes.
If he's been good to you, you ought to tell somebody.
Yes.
Come here to witness him.
Yes.
The psalmist said, wait on the Lord. God is the light of is with me.
Yeah.
God is with us.
Yeah.
Let us keep our gaze on the God of Psalms 27.
Amen.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He will strengthen thine heart. Is that all right? The only constant in our journey has been God.
It's
the only constant. He's the only one that has raised us up. It's God. We need to continue to tell that. Tell our young people, tell our children that this God of Psalms 27 is the one that has brought us all the way to where we are now. I don't know about you, but we all have a story to tell. Is that right? Your story may not be the same as my story. But the God that brought us is, he's the same. Is that right? You may have a short story. You may have a long story. But we ought to tell it. Because can't nobody tell it like you can tell it what the Lord has done for you. It's time out for secondhand religion. Secondhand testimony. Talking about what he's done for other folk. The God that we serve has done something for us. And we ought to tell it everywhere we go. Is that all right? Because I don't know about you, but the Lord has shown been good to me. If I had 1,000 tongues, I could tell it all. How good he's been to me. And I'm through, but I asked Sister Littleton for a program for an event we had last year around this time. And when she brought it to me, it looked strange. It looked different. It looked unusual. Because I didn't do it. And I recognize that I wasn't here this time last year. Ain't God all right? But the God we serve kept moving right along. But seemingly knowing this spirit, I'm constantly being reminded of the fact that this time last year was a difficult time. But God had brought us from a mighty long way. And if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out in our place. So while we yet have breath, we ought to thank him. We ought to celebrate him. We ought to magnify him. We ought to elevate him. Because he's worthy. Church is open. If you're here, this is your opportunity to say yes to the Lord. And if he's got anything for you, you ought to be praising him even right now. Thanking him through many dangers, toils, and storms. I've already come. Well, preacher, how did you give me? Grace has led me safe thus far. Grace will lead me on. Reverend Williamson said, Paul requested of the Lord to remove the thorn from his flesh. But God said, you got that for a reason. Amen. At least you be exalted above man. flesh. It's been given to you a thorn, a messenger of Satan to buffet you. So we don't get to be here. So we don't forget about God. Some of us have achieved, but others are still struggling. We ought not forget about God. Is that right? If you're here, this is your opportunity to say yes to the Lord.
I have overcome.
Yes, yes.
Overcome.
I have. Right here, right now.